Hello, everybody, and welcome to Free China Pod for January 19th, 2020. Hi.
Hi. Guys.
All right, Abby, you start us off. What's the beautiful news that you have today about the Wuhan pneumonia?
Oh, I was not going to talk about that one.
Too late.
Okay. They say they have two Taiwanese, they haven't been diagnosed yet as the Wuhan pneumonia, but it's very similar to it. But we'll find out next week.
And they traveled to China, right?
I think they were taking the flight from, flying back from China. They don't have lots of details for that, but we'll keep it up.
Don't travel to China, everybody. It's a bad idea. But also, the WHO needs to admit Taiwan, because this is why we have this problem. I mean, it happened in 03 with SARS and everything, too. So get your shit together, WHO. Yeah, fucks. Anywho's will be. Abby, what did you want to talk about?
Oh, I just saw that, today, that this afternoon, in Hong Kong, they got a 游行怎么讲? 突然忘记. Protest things. And then, not just, in
March.
Hong Kong. March, yeah. Not just, in Hong Kong. They also, in America, in Canada, in different, I think as many countries, they have the same activity. People just, go on the street. They want America to have the sanctions as soon as possible. And then they hope other country can follow it to have the sanction too. For CCP.
Yeah, and they should. And also, we've talked about before, they're thinking about taking away Hong Kong's status as a special economic zone. So that would have a huge effect, too.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen because Donald Trump... It's up to Donald Trump to decide whether they're in compliance, whether they've lost any freedom. And Donald Trump, as we all know, has a special love affection for the Chinese Communist Party and its leaders.
That's true, but it does seem internally like things are shifting a little bit. Yesterday or today, there was a police officer arrested for writing on one of the linen walls. He was arrested with a number of other people, but it's the first police officer to be arrested. And out of that, a bunch of reports of, police officers in the Hong Kong police force are thinking about resigning and or sympathize with the protesters, things like that. So even within the police force, there seems to be a shifting mentality as this continues to labor on and on and on in months and months and months. So let's hope that that's accurate, and it seems that at least a small number of the police do sympathize with the protesters, even though a number of them clearly from the pictures and videos attain great joy from marring, shooting people in the eyes with tear gas canisters, etc., creating great amounts of violence.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say whether they enjoy it or not, but it's kind of like a herd mentality for them. It's eat or be eaten. This is what the Chinese have created there.
I mean, maybe that's for the general population of the police force, but there was video today and pictures today of a guy, there was a peaceful rally going on, and then in the middle of it, they just said, oh, it's illegal now, and they started firing tear gas and rubber bullets into the crowds. And there's a video of a police officer who just lobbed a bunch of tear gas into the crowd, and he's just dancing around, smiling. It's clear that some of them, and maybe this is just, whatever portion of the public has some sort of, sickness and enjoys violence and hurting other people, but there's certainly that within the Hong Kong police force, and they're just encouraged to take out these acts of wanton acts of violence. So,
you should go to hell.
Well, Ari and I have been talking
what
about
did you
that.
Say?
Abby said we should go to help.
No, I said they should go to hell.
Oh, she said they should go to hell.
Oh.
But I think we should also go to help. So, whatever way we can. Not that we're gonna change the whole thing, but we can add whatever little piece we can. Do our best to help out. So we'll see about both those things. More in the near future, we'll see if we can do some assistance there. Another quick story out of Hong Kong that I didn't get to a little while back is there was a quote-unquote double suicide. A couple who were foreign passport holders were found. They had jumped off the balcony of their upscale hotel room, and the police called it a suicide. And there were suicide notes, quote-unquote, that were in both Mandarin and English. And the police said, oh, it's clearly a suicide. And they also said that they found white powder, which they suspected to be cocaine, inside the room. But the people had just got, within the suicide notes, and I guess also from other reports, they were sympathetic to the protesters. So another fishy suicide in Hong Kong.
Where are they from?
That's so fucking sketchy.
Yes, it was super sketchy. They were not American. They were British passport holders, but they didn't give a whole lot of details about where they are from or, you know, anything like that. So I don't know if they were, their parents were from Hong Kong or what, you know, whatever it was, but they were British passport holders. They were also found in their swimsuits, by the way, which was another real sketchy part of that whole thing. Anyways, very, very weird thing, but...
They joined protests?
They joined the protests? Not, I don't know that they actually joined them, but they definitely said that they were sympathetic to the protesters, so... It's not clear. There's not a ton of details coming out about it. Like a lot of the suicides, the cops seem to kind of want to keep it quiet for, you know, draw your own conclusions on why, whatever that is. But anyway. Okay, a thing that I saw going around today around Taiwan/China Watcher Twitter was a little thing about Jeffrey Sachs. Do you guys know who Jeffrey Sachs is?
Yeah, the economist.
Yeah. So he has some pretty terrible takes on China, like really bad, and I'll give you guys some examples of that soon. But he endorsed Bernie Sanders, so I saw a lot of, like, quote-unquote China watchers. Not all of them. Some of them were saying, like, you know, regardless of this, they still support Bernie. But some people were saying, I'll never vote for Bernie Sanders because this guy endorsed him.
Jeffrey Sachs, you could disagree with parts of what he says, but for... I don't know. Who cares? Who cares who endorses
him? I mean, that's fair, but I do want people to know who this guy is. I mean, I'll read you some quotes from him. He says, China is not America's enemy unless such a zero-sum thinking drives China in that direction. China is not a malevolent actor and is not to be contained by the U.S. I have more. China is a great and rightly proud civilization that aims for the prosperity of all of its people. China and the U.S. have every reason to cooperate. It would be insane and utterly self-destructive to do otherwise. He's also written forewords to, like, Huawei publications. He quit Twitter because he was writing about how, like, it was abhorrent that the U.S. was trying to extradite Meng Wanzhou. So he's really, really close to the Chinese government, at least by proxy, if not directly.
Interesting.
I'm not a big fan of saying, like, because he endorsed Bernie, like, that's a... But I would say that... I also, for full disclosure, he's a member of the... What is that called? The Sanders Institute.
Is that Bernie Sanders?
Yeah. I think it's his wife and his son that run it, which they've been suspending their stuff on and off, and I don't even actually know if it's going on right now because of the Sanders campaign. I think they did suspend it at one point, so I'm not totally sure about that. But I'm not trying to say he's like a terrible guy, but he's certainly misguided on the China issue. I think he does try to do a lot of good things in Africa. I don't know if his methods are right, but I think his head is maybe in the right place, but he's certainly completely wrong on the China issue. When people were, like, chastising him about the China stuff, he tweeted before he deleted his account that he would look into the topic of, like, you know, Chinese IP theft and all the, and Chinese human rights violations, but he said he was very suspicious of U.S. propaganda distorting the issue.
Propaganda? Is that the word he used?
Yes. The quoted word from the article that one of the articles that I read a few about him was that he quoted propaganda. I mean, it's fair to say that there is U.S. propaganda. I mean, every nation uses propaganda, and the U.S. has lied about a number of things, especially when you're talking about, like, the Iraq War and things like that. But on the China issue, it seems pretty clear. I mean, there are concentration camps. Pretty much every nation agrees with this. Like, they're violating human rights flagrantly.
Even China agrees with this.
Yeah, exactly. They come out and admit it. And some of it, they kind of brag about. So it's just kind of absurd. And I went down a rabbit hole of, like, looking at him today. So I think Bernie needs to first of all take a stronger stance. He didn't congratulate Tsai Ing-wen on her win, which he should have done, and he also hasn't taken a super strong stance on China. He's mentioned things like IP theft. I think he's mentioned human rights violations. He's also mentioned the fact that, you know, permanent normal trade relations with China was terrible, and he voted against it. He was one of the very few people that did. Those are good things, but he needs to take a much stronger stand on the issue, and he hasn't done that, and that is one thing that I'm disappointed at him for, though it is only one part of his overall
Biden
platform.
Did, right?
So, Biden
the
did.
Last thing
Biden
we need
did thank
Bill
her.
Clinton.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, Biden did congratulate Tsai on her win. So, anyway, I don't want to ring on about him too long, but not my favorite guy, especially after looking into him a little bit. A little fun story real quick. Apparently Facebook was translating Xi Jinping into Mr. Shithole if you translated Xi Jinping from English to Burmese, which is hilarious. And they, like, came out and apologized for it, but that's really funny.
Apologize to who?
They apologized, I guess, to Xi Jinping about it. They were like, sorry that this happened.
Sorry, she daddy. We know that our translating software doesn't work in your great people's republic. Please don't rape us.
Well, Kuckerberg has been trying to like get it instilled over there. He's trying to been trying to get them to accept it. He like goes over there he's went over there a few times and like tried to do like
a face booth.
Yeah. And his wife is Chinese. So that's not obviously, you know, that's you can take that with a grain of salt cuz that can mean a lot of different things. There's a lot of I mean, we just talked about a couple episodes ago about how there's a guy in Taiwan who was born in China, but he's lived in Taiwan for 9 years and he burned his PRC passport. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt, but you know, it does seem that the robot's wife may have some ulterior motives. That's just a speculation, not even speculation, just a possibility. So interesting. He definitely has an affection for dictators, and he's also a fucking robot. Speaking of Kuckerberg, by the way.
Do you guys like my style? Do you like my style?
If you don't understand that, then
if you don't get it, look it up.
Style. My style is unbeatable.
The Taipei Economic and Cultural Office, a.k.a. the Taiwanese Embassy.
Has Abby seen that one?
Probably not.
Abby, have you seen that?
What? No, I haven't seen it.
The South Park? The one where Mark Zuckerberg is on there. No, she hasn't seen it.
Well, you better show it to her right after we get off the
phone. I can show it to her. Anyway, like I was saying, the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office, which is de facto the Taiwanese Embassy in Canada, their director is pushing right now for basically a cultural exchange, so having Canadian officials visit Taiwan and vice versa. The last time that this happened was in 1998. There was a planned meeting in 2015 of the Ontario Liberal MPPs, but they pulled out because of a scheduling problem. So there was a few that actually did vote. Three progressive conservative MPPs and a new Democrat actually did come visit Taiwan. So that's something, but this is kind of in keeping with the Tsai administration's now new kind of push to gain more followers now that they have this mandate that Tsai Ing-wen has gotten her second and final term. So it's good to see them pushing for more international recognition. We talked about yesterday with the European Parliament passing two bills. So we'll see where that goes, but hopefully we keep going on that. The last thing that I had to talk about today is the Phase 1 deal went through. Obviously, we kind of mentioned that it was going to go through with China, and it's basically a big mess and probably not going to do that much. So China agreed to $52.4 billion in energy exports, $32 billion in agricultural commodities, and $77.7 billion in manufactured goods, and also $37.9 billion in services. But that's only for the next 2 years. So that's a big problem, and we've already seen numerous times where they've reneged on these agreements.
Exactly.
Yeah. Liu He, the vice premier, he said that Chinese businesses will purchase American goods and services, quote, based on market demands in China, end quote. So
basically that means nothing.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a big, okay, we're going to, and basically the U.S. is leaving some of the tariffs, but they're also canceling the ones that they are planning on implementing in December. We're going to sell them a bunch of pork, basically, that they need. So we're going to bail them out of that hole because they let all their pigs die because of Chinese swine fever, CCP swine fever, Xi Jinping swine fever. But the deal proposes to do a few things that people have been calling for, like stamping out intellectual property theft, et cetera, et cetera. And that was Trump's main thing, that and that we're getting killed over here. China kills us in trade. But that was one of his main reasons for starting the trade war. It tries to make the IP theft more identifiable and punishable, but it really doesn't do much to actually stop it. So this trade deal doesn't have an arbiter. It doesn't have a third-party arbiter, which you could argue is good or bad. It might end up being good in the long run because it may just end up that this just goes backwards and reverts back to the previous tariff levels. Because since there's no third-party actor, essentially anyone in the chain of command in both governments can raise a problem that they have, and it essentially just keeps going up, similar to like a court system. It keeps going up until the president or the emperor in the CCP case take it up.
The chief bear.
Chief Pooh Bear. And so it's kind of like that doesn't really allow for a lot of, I mean, they basically just go and like argue about it and try to hash out a deal. Pharma industry also believes that they've secured some gains from this. So
great. Oh,
Oh, I'm happy now.
Yeah, super. That's great, right? Right? They can screw us out of more, you know, deals. We can get less.
I feel like Trump really came through for the American people.
So the Chinese committed and strong, ooh, strong commitment to doing more to protect against, like, copycat drugs.
Oh, I remember when they committed to taking human rights seriously after Tiananmen, but...
Yep. I mean, they stuck by it, right? They haven't, like, threatened to invade any other countries or put, like, 3 million people into concentration camps, killed their own people, totally ignored violent outbreaks of diseases.
Helped North Korea nuclearize.
Yeah, helped a fucking rogue nation military... Yeah, it's okay. No big deal. We can definitely trust them. So they're also supposed to stop forceful transfers of tech, essentially strong-arming. So what a lot of American companies have complained about is that when they go to China, they are forced to give up trade secrets in order to do business in China. What I think they should do is just maybe not do business in China, but I know that would...
Yeah, why are they so freaking greedy that they're willing to sell out all their information
so
that China can... annex their company and kick them out in a few years anyways.
Exactly. They're basically paying for their own destruction because they get basically 2 years of work in China and then they basically get subsumed by another country. I mean, by another company, a Chinese company that is obviously a state company. And this has happened numerous times with, like, Chinese patent law and things like that, where they'll straight up steal a patent. There was a patent law case earlier where it was literally an exact carbon copy of the Michael Jordan Air Jordan logo, and they were trying to say that it was someone holding a ping pong paddle, so it wasn't the same thing even though it's a silhouette. Like, it looks exactly the same, and they'll win. The Chinese companies routinely win these cases. There's one for I forget which area it was, but they straight up stole the classic Disney signature, and they won in court. It's like a clear fraud and a clear copy, but they won in court because they're a Chinese company. They're owned by the Chinese. That's like part of the Chinese government. So that was another thing with the Columbia professor we were talking about earlier, old Sachs boy. He's like talking about how they're just like honest, treating them like they're honest actors and like there's like free and open discussion and how there's not like a double. He was also talking about how like these independent Chinese companies. It's just like there are no independent Chinese companies. I want this to be clear for this story and for every story. There are no independent Chinese companies. They are all state-owned to one degree or another. I mean, look at what happened with Alibaba. Ma Yun just like basically gave light criticism of the government, and they were like, hey, bud, you're going to retire. And he's like, I'm going to retire and hand my company over to the government. Like, wow.
Ma Yun was a member of the CCP, so I don't want to make it sound like he was really ever independent.
That's true. That's
he's been a party member. And being a party member is not like a small thing. A lot of people, to make this clear, a lot of people have the misconception that like everybody in China is a member of the Communist Party. It's actually not even close to that. It's a very elite select group of people, and you have to apply for membership, and it takes usually years to be granted membership in the party. So that means that he is ultra loyal. And that he basically passed through a series of tests and demonstrated years of loyalty to the party in order to get to that spot. So
it's also very easy to be kicked out if you say the wrong thing, or worse than kicked out a lot of times. So a couple of things real quick, and then we can wrap up, that weren't covered in the deal is basically the use of subsidies / state-owned businesses, which is kind of what I was getting into. China basically refused to negotiate on any of this. Like I said, all companies in China are basically state-owned companies, and they're refusing to even negotiate on, you know, leveraging these companies to strong-arm American companies or work throughout the economy. Also missing any even speck of basically cybersecurity or Chinese management of data storage or cloud computing. So they just basically left that one up in the wind, all those security issues that are some of the greatest threats that China poses abroad. Outside of maybe like the Taiwan issue and like Tibet and things like this. Internationally, they basically left everything on the table, just slight buys of, I mean, obviously they're big numbers, but in the grand scheme of international economy,
they're pretty
small.
Oh, real big numbers.
Big.
Yeah, we'll see how much of these numbers actually come through.
Exactly. Bigly.
And even if they do, who cares? It's like a one-time purchase. So we're giving them what? We're just pretending like all these permanent long-term issues are not a big deal. and completely erasing our questions over their rise to power in exchange for what? For a year's worth of agricultural purchases, maybe at best?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, again, they get exactly what they want. They just push it two years down the road, and then the next president comes in, and we'll see how they deal with China. I mean, a number of the presidential candidates have basically said that China is not a threat. I mean, Joe Biden has said that over and over again. China is not a threat. They're not bad guys, guys.
China is going to eat our lunch? Come on, man. They're not bad folks, but guess what? They're not competition for us.
Fucking bullshit. So we'll see. But yeah, hopefully at some point someone gets serious about this. I mean, the good thing again about this whole deal is that it may just completely crumble super fast if Xi Jinping decides to make Trump angry. We'll see if baby gets a full diaper and we lose this trade deal real quick, which is what we should do. I mean, we should be totally decoupling from them anyway. I've said this a number of times because of human rights violations and threats to our allies, American allies like Taiwan. So again, we'll see what happens, but that's all I got for today. You got anything else, little boy and little girl?
Does Abby have anything else?
Abby got anything? She's shaking her head no, which we all know everyone can hear on the podcast because Abby's neck hasn't been oiled for a while. So it goes. Call y'all. So, all right. Well, we'll leave you guys with that then. This beautiful.
Wait.
What's up?
I just wanted to make the point that Tsai had the thing on the BBC when the BBC came to visit about the election, basically. So she's going on a strong offensive. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, so that's good. I mean, again, that's the same interview that we talked about before where we had some criticisms of her for maybe not going strong enough. But she is doing something. She is stronger than any past president has been on independence, so she should be given credit for that. But I think
is that the interview we were talking about a few days ago?
I believe so.
Are you sure?
That was also through the BBC, so maybe it was different. Maybe that was a written report, but it was through the same outlet. They were both through the BBC, so
that must be the same then. Interesting.
Yeah,
I guess because they only posted it on the BBC's YouTube channel today.
It could be a different one. I haven't actually watched the video. I just read the article, so we'll see. But like I said, she should be given credit for what she's done. Like, I'm not trying to shit on Tsai. I think she's done a decent job. I do think that she needs to go harder in a lot of areas, especially at home on the economic front and at, you know, in the international sense, to just straight up, like we said, declare independence and to pursue more international allies, which that part she has done quite a good job on, especially right after she's won this election. She's gone really strong. So credit where credit's due, but I'm going to keep chastising her where I think she needs to be stronger. And that's not out of place of I'm trying to give her shit. It's because I want Taiwan to be the best it can be.
From a place of love.
It's from love. Love you, Tsai.
I don't love anyone except my family.
I love everybody except for Xi Jinping. And the CCP, and Donald Trump, and Joe Biden, and Amy Klobuchar. Wow. Anyway, we're going to wrap it up with that, boys and girls. Thanks for coming and joining us. Like I said, we've been posting on Reddit, so if you have a Reddit account, we do not have a page set up yet, but we are in the process of that. It will be a little while, a couple weeks, before we can get that totally set up. We also have, you know, all the social media stuff, so make sure to go share us on there, vote us on Reddit, all that stuff. But we appreciate you coming over here. Maybe go check out our Patreon, you know what I'm saying? All right, but we will talk to you soon. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.